You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. And we're learning about eagles today on the show. You can see pictures and find a lot more information at childrenshour.org. Our guest is Dr. Brian Millsap. He's from New Mexico State University. He's with us here at Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And the kids still have a lot more questions for him. Let's go over to Illy.
Do eagles mate for life?
Oftentimes, yes. Eagles have a huge tradition, both in terms of pair bonds between individuals and in terms of the places that they nest. Those nesting territories have been there for 100 years or more. And it's not the same pair of eagles that are there because they don't live that long. It's that because of the unique combination of the right-facing cliff, you know, available food, all of those things come together in a particular location and make that a place where eagles over the generations have been attracted to and nested there. Within the lifespan of an individual pair, usually, you know, the male more or less holds the territory. He kind of controls the space, and the female comes in and lives with the male within that area. If they're successful, if the pair works, if things work out and they are able to produce young successfully, generally they'll stay together for as long as they're both alive. If one dies and it's replaced by a new bird, oftentimes the other bird will stay there and pair with the new incoming male or female. But as long as that male and female are alive, and as long as they're successfully raising young, they tend to stay together for their life.
Are female eagles generally larger than males? And if so, why?
Females are larger than males, and that's true in almost all of the predatory birds, whether it's an owl or whether it's a falcon or whether it's an eagle. Those are very different lineages of birds. And so there's something about being an apex predator that leads to larger size in females being advantageous and smaller size in males being advantageous. The theory that's gotten the most credibility and the one that I have a lot of belief in is that it has to do with the division of labor that the males and females go through during the year, particularly when they're breeding. When they're nesting, females, they lay the eggs, obviously. They do almost all of the incubation of the eggs. They brood the young, they feed the young, and the male does most of the hunting. And so in general, it's thought that smaller size in males is advantageous as a hunter because smaller size means that they're more agile, they're quicker, they're faster, and there are more smaller prey than large prey. You know, I think that larger females are better able to incubate larger broods of large eggs. And if you look at egg size, larger eggs have a higher probability of producing a fledging a young bird successfully. And so larger females are able to cover and protect a larger clutch of large eggs. And I think that has a lot to do with it. There's also thoughts that, you know, when the male comes in with food, if he doesn't want to give it up, a larger female's, you know, intimidating and she can take it from him. But you don't see that happen very often. They're very good in their parental roles. And so smaller males are better hunters. Larger females are better at brooding and caring for the young at the nest.
How large can an eagle's nest get?
I've been in a lot of eagle nests, and they can be huge. There was a nest in Ohio at one point, a bald eagle nest that was enormous. I don't remember how big it was, but it blew down in a storm, and it was many, many tons in weight, all the sticks that had accumulated over time. But the whole process of working on a nest is part of the courtship ritual for eagles. In the spring, they're beginning to pair up, and the male and female are working together, adding material to the nest and building on it each year is a part of the annual courtship cycle. And so you can imagine if those nests are over 100 years old, in some cases, probably many, many, many hundreds of years old, they can grow pretty large with all the sticks and debris that eagles bring in to decorate those nest sites with. So I don't have an exact answer, but I can tell you I've stood up an eagle nest in the tops of trees. I mean, they're big enough where I can lay across and practically barely span the top of the whole nest.
You can literally stand on their nest without crashing through it?
You can stand on the nest. I mean, don't do that.
Wow.
But they're large enough that you can easily do that in some cases.
Wow.
How do eagles communicate with each other?
Well, they do have a lot of vocalizations. They chitter and they chatter and they talk. But a lot of the communication is done through flight, through courtship flights. They'll get up really high and dive down and do these big loops and then come back up and dive down and come back up like this, both advertising that this is my territory. And they're also advertising if there's a male looking for a female, you know, that there's a breeding opportunity here. And so flight style and those flights are part of the communication. With the eyesight that they have, the best way for an eagle to communicate is to get way up in the air and start doing a flight style that's communicating something.
One thing about eagle vocalizations is that often that sound you hear, you know, that supposedly is an eagle and they show up.
It's not an eagle.
You know.
That's a red-tailed hawk.
Right. It's not an eagle. Yeah.
Eagle vocalizations aren't very melodic. Both bald and golden eagles have an aggressive call that they make. If an intruder is at the nest, if I'm climbing up to a nest to tag the kids, the adults will fly overhead making a loud chittering, kind of a cacking call. When they're together at the nest and they're working on the nest, they'll chitter back and forth. It's sort of a chittering or a cheeping. It's nothing you would think would come from an eagle. That call that you hear on TV, the meow, that's a red-tailed hawk. They have the eagle voice.
We're hearing what an eagle actually sounds like from the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. You're listening to the Children's Hour. That's our guest, Dr. Brian Millsap, and we have a little bit more time with him here at Outpost Performance Space. You're listening to the Children's Hour. And up next, Gene Ritchie.
Old bald eagle sail around, daylight is gone. Old bald eagle sail around, daylight is gone. Backwards and forwards across the floor, daylight is gone. Backwards and forwards across the floor, daylight is gone. You swing here and I swing there, daylight is gone. You swing here and I swing there, daylight is gone. You go ride the old gray mare, I'll go ride the roan. You get there before I do, leave my girl alone. Sail around, Maggie, sail around, daylight is gone. Sail around, Maggie, sail around, daylight is gone. Big fine house in Baltimore, 16 stories high. Pretty little girl lives up there, hope she'll never die. Old bald eagle, sail around, daylight is gone. Old bald eagle, sail around, daylight is gone.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. Our guest today is Dr. Brian Millsap. We just have a few more minutes with him. We're learning about eagles.
What's the lifespan of an eagle?
An old eagle is 30 to 40 years old. They can live a long, long time. They have a long, long life. But they have to survive that first year in order to get experience, in order to live that long. And a lot of eagles die in their first year learning how to fly, learning how to catch food, learning how to live the life of an eagle. It's a tough world out there. And so if there were 100 eagles born today, about 40 of those wouldn't live past their first year. They would die either by starving to death, getting electrocuted on a power line, colliding with something. So they're, you know, that first year is a really hard year for eagles. But if they make it through that first year and they gain some experience, they have a good chance of living 30 to 40 years. As large as they are, there aren't many predators of eagles, and so that's not a primary way that they die. But there are lots of other things that eagles succumb to. In our study, what we found was that the leading causes of death for golden eagles were things that were related to human changes to the environment. Electrocution on power poles is a large cause of death. We estimate in the Western United States, about 500 golden eagles are electrocuted each year on power poles. They're still shot illegally by people. We estimate that about 700 a year are still shot in the Western United States, even though that's illegal and has been for a long time.
That's so sad.
It is sad. It is sad. It's hard to imagine anyone shooting an eagle, but it happens. And then collisions. Golden eagles, you can imagine a bird flying, one of the biggest risks that it faces is colliding with something. And we're pretty good about putting things up there that are hard to see. You know, power lines, wind turbines are another feature that we're putting out there to generate energy for us, but eagles occasionally collide with those wind turbine blades.
Mm.
And so that's a mortality factor as well.
And cars too.
Cars as well. Remember I said they scavenge. Well, one of the places that you find food to scavenge on is on the highway. Pronghorn antelope, a mule deer that's hit by a car. An eagle will come down on the highway to feed on those. And if they're not quick about getting up off the highway, if there's a truck or a car coming, they can be hit. And that's another cause of mortality.
How are the populations of eagles doing? Are any of them endangered?
Well, that's another great question. Bald eagles used to be endangered. They were for several decades. And The reason for that was we had a pesticide that we used beginning back in the 1940s to control insects called DDT. That was a phenomenally effective pesticide, but we slowly began to realize that that pesticide was not breaking down in the environment and it was accumulating through food chains. And in birds of prey, it caused them to be unable to make an eggshell. And so bald eagles were laying eggs that were so thin-shelled that they couldn't stand being incubated and they didn't hatch. And so bald eagles became endangered. At one point, there were only about 400 known nest sites in the United States. DDT was banned in 1972 in the United States. And slowly but surely, bald eagles began to recover after that. We estimate that there are over 300,000 bald eagles now in the United States. So they've made a tremendous comeback. And in fact, they're actually doing probably better now than they were historically because they've adapted to living and nesting in urban areas. Golden eagles are the exact opposite story. You know, they've been consistently probably at about the same population size for decades. Our data suggests that since the 1960s, their numbers really haven't changed at all. In the western United States, we estimate that there are about 32,000 golden eagles, so quite many fewer than bald eagles. When we look at survival rates of golden eagles and how many young they produce, we've been predicting that those populations will probably begin to decline, and we're starting to see those declines now. And so neither bald nor golden eagles are currently listed as endangered, but we're concerned about the population trajectory, you know, the direction that golden eagle populations are going. They seem to be declining.
Dr. Brian Millsap is a research biologist who specializes in eagles. He is with New Mexico State University. Dr. Millsap, thank you so much for being with us on the Children's
Hour. Thank you for having me.
We learned a lot. I'm Katie Stone. We'll catch you next time for another edition of the Children's Hour.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
Today's show was written and produced by me, Katie Stone, with lots of production help from Gus Tafoya, Sarah Gabrielli, and Daniel Lentz, along with the sub-essays from Zuni Pueblo, and many thanks to our guest, Dr. Brian Millsap, and the folks at Zuni Eagle Aviary.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour. Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
We post our photos and more on Instagram and Facebook. Find us at TCH Radio.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.